It's Ladies Night. Thank you for tuning in to Breaking Chains Young Adult Talk on YAT Radio, featuring the Proverbs 31 ladies. Join our host, Elder Kimberly Buford, Associate Pastor of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, where Apostle Kyron B. Buford is the pastor, and some of the most anointed women of God, in discussion on what God wants us to be and how to become that Proverbs 31 woman. Let's break some chains with the Proverbs 31 ladies.
Praise the Lord, and thank you for joining us tonight on Breaking Chains with Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. I'm your host, Pastor Kimberly Buford of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford. And as is our habit, we're going to the throne. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for your kindnesses. We thank you for your love. Lord God, without you, we are nothing. We have nothing. We are nothing. We can't do nothing in the name of Jesus. Father, we repent right now for every sin, every shortcoming, every attitude, every situation, circumstance, anything and everything that does not bring you glory, Lord. Father, we repent. We repent for those times that we didn't pray. We repent for those moments when we allowed our flesh to take over, Lord God. We repent for just not giving you the glory due your holy, awesome, and wonderful name, Lord God. We love you today, Daddy. We love you. We thank you for everything, Lord God. Lord, use us tonight. Use us tonight and allow that your glory would shine through. Lord God, allow that chains would be broken, yokes would be destroyed, that all those situations and circumstances that people may call in with and that people may log on into the archives and be dealing with, Father God, that all those demonic oppressions would be destroyed and that your glory would shine through and that you would be honored, Lord God, that your word would be glorified, that you would be glorified. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. And you know what? Before we get started, we have to remember that Jesus has to be at the center of everything. Everywhere we go, everything we do, on our job, in our home, with our kids, with our marriage, Jesus is at the center of it all.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, hear me back, say, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all.
Beginning to the end.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. Don't let my eyes, don't let me take my eyes off you. Don't let me walk or turn to the right hand or to the left. I was reading a scripture this morning. I was reading the scripture about when the disciples were in the boat and they it was tumultuous on the water and they saw Jesus walking across and they thought he was a ghost. And Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got up out of the boat and he started walking on the water. And he was walking as long as his eyes were on Jesus. But when he took his gaze off of Jesus, when he got distracted, that's our topic tonight. When he got distracted from Jesus, he began to sink. And Jesus grabbed him, and they were back in the boat. Distraction. Tonight, our topic is talking about those things that cause us to be distracted from the gaze of Jesus, from our gaze being on Jesus, those things that keep us from being, that cause us to be distracted. Is there anyone on the line tonight? Amen, amen.
My name is Brother Larry.
Hi, Brother Larry. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. I'm doing awesome, Brother Larry. And I'm glad that you're on here tonight. I was studying, and I ended up getting sidetracked. You know we do that sometimes. And I'm going to talk about that. We're going to talk about distractions. And I ended up reading an article. And in this article, it began to talk about, and of course it was a secular article, so they didn't call it that. But it talked about distractions. It talked about all of the things, and it was from an Afrocentric point of view. It was talking about African Americans and how we get distracted and how we do this and how we do that and blah, blah, blah. And that was the gist of the article. But I started to see something underneath that. One of the things it talked about was how we allow our quote unquote celebrities to encourage us to buy things we can't afford, to spend what we don't have, to do what we don't know we ain't got no business doing, and we get sidetracked. We get off guard. And while our guard is down, it's really easy for the enemy to kind of slip in there and do the things that he wants to do because we're not paying attention. We're not praying. We're not watching as Jesus told us to do. We're not watching. We're not praying. We're not paying attention. We're not covering our marriages. We're not covering our kids. And by the time we wake up to the reality of what's going on around us, our house is destroyed. Our finances are a wreck. And we wonder what happened. We went to sleep. And I'm on here tonight talking about how to stay focused, staying focused and keeping. There used to be a program. Brother Larry, do you remember the program Eyes on the Prize?
I don't remember. I don't recall it.
Yeah, years ago there was I think it was PBS, somebody did a program called Eyes on the Prize, and it was focused on talking about the civil rights marches and things that happened during the civil rights era. And it was called Eyes on the Prize. And I use that term tonight. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. Many of us have gotten distracted. We fell asleep. And the Bible talks about the bride of Christ falling asleep and how we need to wake up. The scripture that I want to use tonight, the main scripture, is Luke 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And It's not a long passage, but it gets the point across. This is when Jesus visits Martha and Mary. And now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You know, another translation, the New International Version, says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." She was distracted. Another translation says, "Martha was worrying." Wow. That kind of puts it all into perspective, doesn't it? Martha was so concerned over the way things look. You know, I can relate to Martha. I can so relate to Martha. I love to cook and I love to entertain. And at Thanksgiving and Christmas, whether I'm at home at my parents' house or whether we're here at my house or whether we're at my in-laws' house and I'm cooking there, I'm always trying to make sure that the dinner is ready, make sure it tastes right, make sure everything is set up just right, you know, make sure my daughters get their hair done, make sure everybody's got clothes to wear and, you know, everybody's shoes are right. You got pantyhose, you got socks, do you have a tie? You know, talking to my husband, you got a tie, you got to go to the barber shop, we got to go get our hair done, got to go nails up, blah, 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 blah. And it seems like so many of us are so busy with so much stuff that we forget why we're there. This past Christmas, I got to that point. I was so distracted over so many things. I said, "You know what? Wait a minute. Is this really what this is all about? Is this really what's supposed to be most important for me right now?" And the answer is no. See, sometimes we buy into the world's definition of stuff so much that we make it our definition. We forget what the definition is. The world comes in the church, takes our stuff, turns around and does what it wants to with it, and then we get confused and start chasing the world. We got to get this thing right. We got to come on, sit down, slow down, and remember what we're supposed to be doing. It's too many Marthas floating around here, not enough Marys. Come on now. Too many Marthas and not enough Marys. We need more Marys at the feet of Jesus. We need more people sitting down listening to the words of Jesus. Yeah, dinner might not get ready at 3:02 in the afternoon. It might be more like 6, but you know what? It'll be all right. I don't think Jesus is going to send us to hell because we ain't got dinner ready on time. Too many of us are so focused on what kind of clothes we wear. Now, you know, my husband wants me to look good, and I'm going to look good for my husband. I'll put on my makeup. I'll do my hair. I'm going to keep my nails. I'm going to do what I got to do to make my husband happy, and that's what I'm supposed to do. That's my job. But at the same time, I need to make sure that I make God happy with me. And what makes him happy with me is when I read his word, when I spend quality time with him, when I pray. You know, I think one of the things, I made a comment last night in Bible study, And I was talking about, and by the way, anybody on here, jump in. If you got something to say, y'all can go ahead and jump in. I made a comment about how in this generation is so much different, not just this generation, but in this season in the world, because we have all of these electronic distractions. We've got Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and what is it? Help me out. I've forgotten about four or five of them. All of these different devices. We got our emails, and we've got all of the information on the World Wide Web that we can be surfing 24/7. People
Snapchat.
No longer go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
I was like Snapchat. Pinterest.
Yeah. Oh
Pinterest.
My gosh. Pinterest. I can't even go on Pinterest. If I go on Pinterest, I know I'm gonna get lost for about 2 hours. I'll look down and start looking at something, and by the time I look up again, it's 2 hours later. I have lost 2 hours, and I know it. That's why I deliberately don't go on Pinterest unless I'm looking for something specific, and then I come back off because I know what my propensity is. But I'm talking all of this stuff. Do we realize how much time it steals from God? Netflix. Now you no longer have to go to the movies. All you have to do is at the click of a button, you can watch any movie you want to. Good, bad, or ugly. You can watch anything you want to. What has happened to our prayer time? What has happened to our Bible reading time? What has happened? You know what? What has happened to our face-to-face communication time? We no longer even know how to communicate with each other. And the generation that's coming up now, they've got it really bad. When I first started teaching 15 years ago, if I told my students that they had free time in class, the class was rowdy. You had to tell them to be quiet. Nowadays, if you tell a classroom that they have to be quiet, I mean that they have free time, it's almost silent. Why? Because everybody in there is on their individual devices. They don't talk to each other unless they're texting each other, unless they're tweeting each other, you know, unless they're Snapchatting each other, unless they're creating vines that they can show to each other. That has become what we do today. People have their own individual music. That's why everybody walks around with headphones on. They block out the rest of the world. They're blocking out everybody else. What has that done to our time with God? What has that done with our time with each other, praying together? What has that done? These are all distractions. Very cleverly designed by the enemy. Got to give him his props. Now, they can be used for the purposes of God. Yes, God gives us the intellect to do whatever we need to do, but the enemy has done a masterful job of infiltrating and causing us to forget our first love. Distracting us. We're so distracted. We're so distracted. We find other things to do instead of spend time with God. We focus on the television. We focus on the internet. Oh, I have to check my emails. Oh, you know what? There's a program on television tonight. You know, I love Christian programming. I do. I'm not going to lie. I love some of it. I love some of my Christian programming. But when it takes the place of our individual time with God, that's when it's a problem. It was never designed to take the place of our time with God. As a matter of fact, David Jeremiah is one of my favorite preachers to listen to. And every time his program comes on, he'll tell you at the end of the program, this is not meant to take the place of your local congregation. You should belong to a local congregation. This program is not meant to take the place of that. And he's right. We want to get in there and get what we want when we want it so we don't have to deal with people. But that's not what God told us. We have to have a spirit of discernment. A little over 10 years ago, God put in my spirit, and I told our church back then when we were in Alabama, I told the church then, I said, God put in my spirit that there is a strong spirit of distraction that's coming on the earth, and we need to get ready for it. It wasn't even 3 months later that we started seeing manifestations of it all over the place, and it still is. As people of God, we have to recognize the season, and we have to be ready to stand up. And Jesus told Martha, he said, Martha, you got a lot of stuff you're worrying about. You got a whole lot of stuff that you're dealing with. Don't deny Mary. Don't deny her that she recognizes what's most important. If that's what you want to deal with, you want to deal with what you're dealing with. But don't take it away from her. What are we dealing with today? What kind of distractions are we dealing with? Analyze your life. You know, because 9 times out of 10, God has already told you. 9 times out of 10, God has already revealed to you whatever it is that is a distraction in your life. And we all know that we have to work. We all know that we have to study. If we're students, if we're in school, we have to study. We have to do our homework. Those are things that we have to do. But what are things that we are doing where we're really, it's a time waster. Or as when I'm teaching my students about time management, the word is a time stealer. What are those time stealers in your life? What are those time wasters? What are those things that are stealing your time with God? Is it the internet? Is it social media? Is it sports? You know, is it just, you know, my family, we love football. We love football. But I've even noticed in the past few years that we've been backing off that. We still watch certain games now and then, Roll Tide. We still watch certain games and we still do certain things, but definitely not as much as it used to be. What kind of things, what kind of books have you been reading lately? Have you stopped reading books because we're so busy online reading blogs? What kind of stuff have we taken away from God? What kind of things have we stopped from building our spirit man? We need to be building our spirit man, and distraction caused you to step away from that. Anybody got anything they want to add?
Yes, because technology is a good thing, but anything that's false balance is an abomination. You know, I was talking to a buddy, and I said, you know, I used to watch basketball heavily, like the All-Star game and the Oscars. But what I noticed, those things are not fulfilling. It's not even fun no more.
Right.
The things that I used to desire, it changed. And, you know, I just tell anybody, you know, let God change you.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm gifted like the cell phone. I'm always picking it up. But, you know, one thing I can say, when I'm praying or reading God's word, I turn it off.
Amen.
You know, why you turn your phone off? I hear something important. And my thing is, anything past 9, 10 at night, you need to call 911. You know, and that's just the way I feel. You know,
hey, that's the way I was raised. That's the way I was raised. If somebody called my house up to 10 o'clock, it's like, you know, what's going on? This is an emergency. Why are you calling me this late?
I have to agree, the spirit of distraction, you know, hit the church first. You know, it's sad, but, you know, I had a cell phone, but I never played with it in church like people do today. You know, yeah, you
My
might
God.
Time to time take the picture. But now people in the church taking pictures, you know, taking Instagram, videoing a whole service. I remember, yeah, your wallet is important, but now your cell phone is more important than your personal wallet.
You're right.
And the enemy wants us to be antisociable, because when you're antisociable, you cannot come together.
Exactly.
You know, I was talking to an older gentleman. He retired from a firm, an engineering firm. He said, yes, they hired a lot of these youngsters. You know, they make less money, but at the same time, they're antisocial. All they do is text and email. They don't have no communication skills. You know, they have, I mean, high grade point average, but no communication. None whatsoever.
You know, it's funny you say that, because there was something I saw online once. It was a little bit, it was meant to be comical, but unfortunately it was so true. And it showed these two people who were supposed to be getting ready to go out on a date. And they had met through texting. They communicated through texting. When he was coming to pick her up, he texted her. She came downstairs to the car. They texted each other all the way. When they were at their date, when they were sitting at the table getting ready to go out to dinner, at dinner, they were texting each other instead of actually talking. They were texting. They were posting on social media. They were doing everything else. In the whole video, it was a couple of minutes. They never said anything other than hello and goodbye. And it was meant to be a joke, but unfortunately, it's way too true. It's way too true. Our children have no concept of social graces. They are woefully inept when it comes to actual face-to-face interaction with another human being. They don't know how to deal with that. They don't know how to start conversations. They don't know, like you just said about the engineering firm. These kids are coming in and they have no social skills. They don't know how to survive in that environment. They don't know how to deal with older people, older people who don't use technology or who are not techno savvy as they are. They don't know what to do with them, and so their inadequacy shows even more in that respect, and it's sad. But that's kind of, and as a matter of fact, my class was having a discussion one day, and some of my students said, you know what, Ms. Beaver, that's y'all's fault. That's your generation's fault. Because your generation was the one that came out with this stuff. I said, you know, when my generation came up with this stuff, their thought pattern was, we're going to help the world to be a better place. They never intended for technology. See what I'm saying? And it's like this generation is quite content replacing people with technology. Go ahead, sir.
And I agree when the person says y'all generation fault, you know, it is like this. If I'm gonna use an example. You know, alcohol been around, I'd say, for over 200-300 years. So when a person say, well, if y'all didn't, you know, invent alcohol, I wouldn't get drunk. No, you choose. To follow that. And
you're
when
right.
that person said that, it is like, okay, you know it's wrong, but you continue on doing it. And it is like they I'm just say, for example, you know, pornography. It goes on and on. You know, you can get it downloaded anywhere if you really want to, bought, whatever. But at the same time, I know it's wrong. You know, I know if, you know, if you watch a PG-13 or radar movie where it's bloody, gore, spellcasters, you know, we know it's wrong. But,
right.
You know, if I use that and say, well, if it wasn't for the witches, I wouldn't watch that kind of stuff. I wouldn't watch Harry Potter. I wouldn't watch Twilight and all these different things.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people are afraid to talk, you know, and that's what I, you know, I see. They want, well, we can discuss it. Oh, go ahead.
No. But you know what? You made a comment a little while ago. You were talking about how you would never text in church or use your phone like that in church. I'm gonna give you a good example. There are a lot of people who give their children their cell phones and their iPads in church to quote unquote keep them quiet. Now, what are their? How is that child being trained? See what I'm saying? The parents did that. I know a lot of people who have 2 and 3 year olds. They buy iPads just for that 2 and 3 year old to quote unquote keep them quiet, to quote unquote keep them busy. They deliberately do that. So. Actually, at that age, they are training that child to be antisocial. Children are supposed to talk. Children are supposed to interact with the environment around them. That's what children are supposed to do. But unfortunately, a lot of parents who have access to technology choose to use it as a babysitter. So then when the children get to be 10, 12 years old and that's all they know, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these kids that have been raised on a bottle and an iPad. And now they're getting to the age where they're teenagers and they're completely antisocial. We wonder why kids sit up in church on their telephones all the time. Well, mama put him on the telephone when he was 2. What do we expect? This is how they were trained up.
And that is so true because, if you go in a courthouse, you know, they have a sign, you know, not to, you know, turn off all electronic devices. But at the same time, you know, it starts with the parents. And when I was coming up, you know, they had different things, but we sat there. You know, people said, oh, they need a children's church. We didn't have a children's church, but we know to sit there. We might have dozed off and got popped upside the head or something.
Thank
but guess
you.
What?
Thank you.
We sat there. Hey, man, I'm done.
And you know what? You know, nowadays, and now we do have children's church, but our children are learning the same thing that we're learning in the regular church. Our children are learning and growing in the Lord. And that's the way, and if you're going to have, quote-unquote, children's church, they need to be learning how to pray. They need to be learning warfare. They need to be learning scripture. They need to be learning so they can war, because these kids in school, my daughter had a Satanist in her school when she was 6 years in sixth grade. She had a Satanist in her school. Our children need to know how to war. They need to know how to pray. They need to know how to call on the name of Jesus and how to command demons to flee. Our children, we cannot step back and say, oh, well, you know, let them go over there and eat popcorn, or, you know, let them go over there and play with balloons. No, you better be over there teaching them about the blood of Jesus, because the devil don't care about us at this point. We are a minor distraction to him. His focus is on our kids. His focus is on this next generation. He is going after them because that's the generation that's coming up behind us. So we're getting ready to fade off the scene. He's got to get them. And what's happening is he is, because they're being distracted in church. They're being distracted in the Word. The parents aren't praying because the parents are distracted. The parents are busy. Who's watching the kids? Who's praying with the kids? Who's teaching the kids the Word of God? Who's teaching the kids how to pray? See, this thing goes a lot deeper. And I'm glad you brought up what you did about, you know, the devices and things that we have in church. Even, you know, I see a lot of people that have their device, they have their Bible on their phone. I don't want my Bible on the phone. I listen to my Bible when I'm driving. On my phone, I'll listen to my audio Bible. That's a good time for me to read. Listening to the audio Bible. But when I can sit down and read for myself, I want my words on a page. I'm old-fashioned like that. That's just how I am. But when we start bringing all those devices into the service, now, again, that's just me. I'm old-fashioned. But what about the kids that are distracted? Well, now Mama's got her cell phone, and she got the Bible on it. But what about when Mama turns the Bible off? Well, she gives the cell phone to the child. The child sits there and plays Candy Crush for the rest of the service. Child's on Snapchat, Instagram, not paying any attention to the word that's going on. I just think some things we need to go back to basics. Some things we need to go back and remember our first love. We need to get refocused. Anybody got anything they want to add? Amen. Well, again, a couple of other things, a couple of other scriptures. Let your Proverbs 4:25-27. Let your eyes look directly forward. Let your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. We get sidetracked so much. We get, again, talking about distraction. We need to pay attention to what we're trying to do. We need to focus. It says, ponder the path of your feet. Where am I going? What am I getting ready to do? What's the purpose of what I'm getting ready to do? What is the point? What door am I getting ready to open if I do this? For some reason nowadays, we don't think things through like we used to. Amen? We don't really think stuff through like we used to think it through. It's time. Don't swerve to the right hand or to the left. Stay focused. It's like our attention spans are getting shorter. And, you know, I was reading something, and it was talking about, again, going back to these electronic devices. And it talks about how the frequency, it has to do with the brain frequency. It even affects our sleep. The screens that we use, they have been saying that in order for you to get a decent night's sleep, you really should get off of all devices like an hour before it's time to go to bed, because it disrupts the brain waves. That blue light, that backlight, it disrupts brain waves. All of these things are things for us to keep in mind. 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about no temptation has overtaken you. Hold on a second. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. See, God knows that we are easily distracted. I got a saying I tell people, sometimes we got the attention span of a flea on crack. We can't stay focused. And it's like, now, again, as time goes on, the focus is even shorter than it was before. But we have to go to God with that. We have to go to God because we have to be able to get in his face. We have to get
Thank
on
you.
Our face to get in his face. Go ahead, my brother.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know why people's attention span is getting shorter and shorter? Because the heart of many is drawing cold, and it's all about
yes.
themselves. If it's not
yep.
about them, they have a short attention span. I'm going to give you several people I talk to, and they tell me all their business, but when it comes to me, they have a short attention span because
Amen.
A lot of people become more selfish. If,
yes.
if it's not entertaining them, they shut you down. They have a short attention span. And
yes.
it's just basically selfishness, self. And that's what it is. You know, there's true conversation, but person spill their guts out. But when it comes to you, they are in the same way we're in church. You know, when the word of God comes forth, I don't have time left. I'm going to go check my Facebook. I'm going to go check my email. I'm going to go check
mm-hmm.
on this first, see what they're doing. Because it's all about self. And the more it's about you, the less your attention span. Amen. I'm
Jesus.
Done.
Brother, you know you on point, though. You are so on point. And then my question is, and I have a question, I'm just throwing this out there. How saved are we really? Because if it's all about you, then you sitting on the throne instead of God. So is it really God that's important? Or is it really me that's important?
And
who's the one
and if you look at it,
go ahead, my brother. No, go ahead.
If you look in the scripture, say, you can't serve two masters. Now,
it
never said devil and God. It say you cannot serve God or man or God or mammon.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot serve. So man is about you and what
mm-hmm.
surrounds you. Man is about what you idolize. You know, a man or woman that's not of God, they make many idols. So,
yes.
You know, scripture never said you can't serve two masters, God or the devil. It was specifically pointed, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Some translations, both, you cannot serve God and man. And
that's
so
it.
It's all about what
that's
man
it.
Do.
That's
so,
it.
And that's the, you know, that's the whole thing. I got to please me. I got to do what's best for me. And, you know, I'm not against, you know, social network, but a lot of people become socialism. It's all about them, you know. It's almost like dictator-like. So,
yeah.
You know, I tell people I'm not against women's rights, but when your rights become you the head charge is only you, and I'm not against human rights, but when it's all about you, and what you stand for, you know, where is God at? You know, where is God? Amen, I'm God. Amen.
No, but you are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And you know what's interesting is they've done several studies on Facebook. You have to be real careful when you put all your stuff out there because then they start doing these social experiments and they start doing these social studies and things like that. And one of the things they found, they said that people who do multiple selfies are basically narcissistic. What you just said, they selfish. They focus on themselves all the time. They are extremely narcissistic. And they said that people that are always on Facebook, always taking pictures of themselves, always talking about themselves, these people basically are in love with themselves. And I thought that was quite funny because it's absolutely true. These people are absolutely in love with themselves, and they are distracted by themselves. They are distracted by all the little frills and bells and whistles that come along with that. I was reading the article that I was reading today that was talking about, again, focusing on the African-American community, but it was talking about how we don't, in the African-American community, we don't put our dollars back into our community. And it was talking about how a lot of these celebrities influence us to spend our money on the stupidest stuff. And it was talking about how, for instance, Jay-Z influenced all these people to run out. He started talking about Ciroc in a rap. And next thing you know, all of these people running out there paying $200 a bottle for Ciroc. And then he stopped buying Ciroc and started buying something else, and they stopped buying Ciroc and started buying whatever he buying. And then Nicki Minaj started talking about Michael Kors in a rap, and all these women running out there to buy Michael Kors. Honestly, I've been trying to figure out who Michael Kors was and why do I need to spend that much money on a bag. That's me. I'm just like that. But it shows how petty we are sometimes, how easily distracted we are. And it reminds me of the movie Up. On the movie Up, they had the dog, and the dog had the talking collar where the dog could talk. And the dog would be focused on one thing, and then the dog would, you know, he would say something, and then he'd say, "Ooh, squirrel, squirrel." You know, it's like, the dog's attention span was so short. He would be doing one thing and the next thing, squirrel. Anything that run across his path, squirrel, dog, cat, it didn't matter. His attention span was just so short. And you know what? We are quickly becoming just like that dog, where it doesn't matter what it is, our attention span is so short because we're so narcissistic. And if it's something that we look like we want, Michael Kors, Ciroc, you know, new clothes, new hair, it doesn't matter. We just go run out because we are the guinea pigs of the world as black people anyway. We run out and buy the next thing just because somebody said it. And it's complete foolishness. And as women, we have to get out of that. Matter of fact, they even made a comment. They said that, what is this comment? It said something about in the African Americans 2002 spent $22.9 billion on clothes, $3.2 billion on electronics, and $11.6 billion on furniture to put in homes that were rented. Which
wow.
is completely crazy. But, again, it goes back to what you just said. But, Larry, it goes back to what you just said. We are so narcissistic and selfish, and we look at ourselves and we pay attention to us, me, my, I. And when we're doing that, there is no room for God and me on the throne of my heart. So one of us got to get up. And because God is a gentleman, He don't let you have
Amen.
That.
Oh.
Go ahead, son, go ahead.
You know, the scripture says, "Seek ye first kingdom of heaven, and all his rights, and all these things shall be added unto you." And also, the Bible also says, "The earth and the fullness thereof, it belongs to God." And one thing I have learned, yeah, things are nice, but I can wait. But you know what? I'm going to say I can only speak for black folks, and you got some white people as well. Why I find out why some people are so materialistic bound because, number one, they have low self-esteem, and number two, no one never taught them that they have value. They think stuff value them. You know, the Bible says a good name is more precious than gold and silver. A good name. And I'm just going to be real for so many years, you know, it's just like, you know, monkey see, monkey do.
Yes.
You know, monkey see, monkey do. And, you know, I know when I was coming up, you know, white people, some white people used to keep up, you know, when if Johnny got a new boat, Luke got him a new boat. You know, they you know, they still do that. But you know, now you know, black people get stuff to make them feel like something. You know, and
yeah.
And that's why they get it. And number two, if you notice, you know, rich people, wealthy people, they buy stuff certain times a year. They don't buy stuff year round like
uh-huh.
we do. They buy stuff certain times a year. The wealth.
Uh-huh.
And,
yes, they do.
And also, you know, I'm not ashamed to, you know, say it. You know, it is a lot of stuff I just is not going to buy because, if it, you know, everything that's made in China, you know, it was made cheaply. The price, the material
uh-huh.
is cheap. If the, even they say good price for the material, it was still was produced cheaply.
Uh-huh.
And one thing, and that, you know, that's another thing. You know, I tell, you know, I'm old school. You know, I tell people, you know, why are you gonna pay $200-$300 for some sneakers, and they ain't real leather? You know, real
okay.
leather lasts a long time.
Okay, can I throw something out there?
Yeah.
Like, why are you gonna pay $300
yeah, go
for some sneakers anyway? Why
you know,
are you gonna pay $300 for some sneakers anyway? Why don't you go and get you some nice wingtips that you can wear on a job interview?
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I agree with you because I grew up like, you know, old folks there, they spend $100, $200, $300 on leather shoes, but they
Come
had
on.
Them shoes 10 years, and they replace the sole and keep going.
Can
you
I
know,
tell you, my daddy got some shoes he's had 25 years, and if you've seen them, you would not know they're that old because he takes such good care of them. And mm-hmm. and that's something that older generation did. They took care of what they had. They took care of their homes. They took care of their furniture. They took care of their cars. They took care of their yards. They took care of their clothes. And we have come up in more of a disposable environment where we don't take as good care of stuff as they did because they had stuff that would last 50 years. And some of the stuff we get lasts 5. And it goes back to, yes,
bought.
You say it's. Go ahead and say it. Go
they,
ahead and say it because you just said it.
They bought quality.
That's
weight.
It.
You know, they had
yep.
quality and they had weight. You know,
that's right.
And I'm still old school. If it's not heavy, I don't want it.
Thank
you know, I want something heavy. You
yes.
know. Hey, man, I'm going to let you talk. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, brother. You are absolutely correct. And we are so much of a microwave. And, again, it goes back to that short attention span. It goes back to the quick distractibility that we have. But we want it now. I don't want to wait. My grandmother might have waited 20 years before she bought something, because she didn't want to use credit, but you know what? I want it now. I want to have this now. I want to do this. You buy $300 pair of tennis shoes, and you ain't through paying for it before they're raggedy or before they're out of date because Michael Jordan come out with a new pair every month. So they either obsolete or tore up, and you are still paying for it. Again, that's
mm-hmm.
part of that distractibility that we have. It's part of that me, my, I, gotta have it now, that microwave mentality. That's the same thing with us in church. I want to get saved today. And when I get saved tomorrow, I want to be preaching, and I want to have my own church the day after that. It's the same attitude. And y'all know I ain't lying. It's the same attitude.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to wait on
mm-hmm.
anything. I got saved today. I want my solo tomorrow. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
We have got, as my husband loves to say, we need to go back to the old landmark. We got to go back
mm-hmm.
to our first love. We've got to go back. Like I said earlier, Jesus told Martha, you know what, you worry about a whole lot of stuff. Key word, stuff. You worried about a whole
mm-hmm.
lot of stuff. But Mary wants to sit here at my feet, and I'm not going to deny her of that. All of us need to get that, change that mindset. We need to get back to where we need to be. We need to go back to our first love, which should be Jesus. We need to get back to our first love. We need to remember what that was like. We need to lose the distraction. You know, it's interesting. When we get in the presence of Jesus and we spend time in his presence, it's amazing how little all that other stuff matters, isn't it?
Yeah.
All that other stuff just, it's not really important. Like you said, brother, you turn your telephone off when you go and pray. And you know what? I forget to turn mine back on. You be so at peace. It's so much peace. When we pray, when we take time to pray, when we take time to study the scriptures, when we take time and just spend time in God's presence, even if we're listening to worship music and just meditating in his presence, the rest
Amen.
Of the stuff, it's just not important. It's
Amen.
Just not important. Amen. You know what? This has just been such a blessing for me tonight. It's been such a blessing for me. And by the way, I say this all the time. I never really know where God is going with his lessons. I just let God lead. I just let him. I let the Holy Ghost have his way. And yet again, something that I needed to hear. I don't know about you all, but he needed to remind me of this. You know, sometimes on our jobs, we can get so busy. Sometimes in our homes, even in the ministry. And we have to be reminded of what's really important. What's the focus? What's supposed to be the bottom line? What's supposed to be number one? Who is number one? And God sometimes has to step in and say, hello, I'm still over here. I didn't leave.
Amen.
So I just thank God for this. Anybody have any comments before we go ahead and shut this down? Anybody have any comments?
Well, I just want to say, this is Pastor Rosie. I just got on the line about 5 minutes ago, unfortunately, but the little that I heard was a blessing. It was such a blessing. So
Amen.
I thank God for all of you who have participated tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Bless
Brother
me
Larry,
my Russian.
No, it's fine. Praise God. Brother Larry, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for just giving your input, because it was really a blessing, and it was definitely necessary. Amen. Thank you so much. And I thank God for everyone that's on the line tonight, those that had input, those that didn't. And just want to thank you for being all here tonight, and we hope that you were blessed. We hope that you were blessed by the things that God had to go forth in this lesson tonight. And let's go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you are so awesome.
Hallelujah.
You are so wonderful. You're so mighty. You are so gracious. You are so kind. You are so loving. Daddy, you love your children. You truly love your children. You are so... there are no words, Daddy. There are no words. There are no words. Daddy, you are just so wonderful. You know exactly what each one of your children need and when your children need it, God. You know what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. You know how we need to receive it, God. You give it to us. You give us everything we need, and you give it to us in such an awesome way that all we can do is say, God, we thank you. You're so wonderful.
God.
We adore
you.
Oh, you are such a loving father and such a doting daddy. You know when your children have such a deep, heartfelt need. And sometimes, Lord, you know, what, and we don't even realize what we need. And you give it to us anyway.
Amen.
Thank you, Daddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Daddy. Lord God, we just pray blessings on every soul that's on the line right now, Lord God. We pray blessings on every soul on this line. We pray blessings on every household that's represented in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're getting ready to do, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that you're getting ready to reveal yourself in it in just such a much more awesome way in every family that's represented here, in every life. Lord God, we pray that the revelation begins immediately, Lord God, that it begins right now in the name of Jesus, that we see your presence and your hand in such awesome ways that it and we know that it's you, God, and we will know immediately that it's you. It can't be anybody else but you. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, help us to identify those distractions in our lives, Lord God. Those things that are pulling us away from you. Those things that are diverting our eyes from you. Those things that are pulling us off the path that you have laid directly in front of us, Lord God. Those things that are pulling us to the right hand and to the left. Those situations and circumstances, Lord God, that might be good situations, but Lord God, they're not you. We thank you that you are watching and that you are sending your holy warring angels to keep us on task, Father, because there are many that are still tied to us in the name of Jesus. There are many that are watching us, Lord God, and they're watching us. You have them watching us to draw them to you, not to us. Because it's not about us. Lord God, help us take our eyes off ourselves. Help us, Lord God, to remember that we need to be spending time with you. Lord God, anything that's a distraction, take it out of our lives, Lord God. Take it away from us right now in the name of Jesus. Reveal it to us and remove it from us in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we give you permission right now. We give you permission, and we thank you for it. We thank you. Lord God, we abdicate the throne of our heart right now. We get up, Lord God. We repent in the name of Jesus that we felt like we could do it on our own. We repent in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, we give it all to you. We give it all to you because it's not about us. It has never been about us, but it's always been about you for your glory. For your honor, for your praise. We live our lives. We do everything we do all for you, Lord. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus we pray.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us tonight on Breaking Chains with Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. You be blessed, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Love y'all. Y'all be blessed.
Love you, too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.